Welcome back, everybody, to the Cars Recap Podcast, a podcast where we are discussing all things from the Disney films Cars 1, Cars 2, and I think there's a Cars 3. We'll find out, since we are watching a movie that is all about cars and nothing else, about trucks and cars and all that good stuff, or also about kids in high school in Albuquerque, New Mexico singing. I'm very excited to conclude our High School Musical series with this podcast today, High School Musical 3, Part 3, ready to do it. I am Matt, alongside Matt. How's it going, Matt?
Just contemplating now that the Cars trilogy may be in contention, trying to fight it out with High School Musical for best trilogy of all time. I wasn't sure if there was actually three Cars movies.
Well, as we break it down today, at least with Cars movie 1.1, Part 1, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, and stick around, because we will be breaking down each Cars movie in three parts again, just like we did with High School Musical. So a lot of fun for everyone.
Yeah. Are you like, you should, I don't know if you should feel honored. Maybe that's not the way to put it, but just be happy. No, still not the right way to put it. I guess what I'm just trying to get at is that I'm having some of my worst intros in podcasting history opening up this particular podcast, because there's no name for it.
Yes, and I am honored.
Yeah, you should be honored, happy, grateful, all of the above, I guess. And all of you out there should be as well, listening to, you know, the fumbling of an intro before we get into some fun discussion of high school kids fumbling through the end of their senior year. I'm ready to get into it, because the intro sucks.
Yeah, I mean, the faster we get into the, not episode, the section of the movie that we'll be talking about, the faster that everyone will forget about the intro to this podcast.
Except for people who are, like, live messaging us their thoughts as they listen, because they've already sent us a message about how bad the intro is. So there's
nothing
we can do about
that. Yeah, I can't wait to get that text in a couple of weeks about how terrible this intro was.
And I'll be like, it wasn't that bad, right? And then maybe I'll press play and I'll probably delete the podcast on site. Okay, so where were we? In High School Musical 3, we watched the first two parts. The first, it was 40 minutes plus another 40 minutes. So the first hour and 20 minutes of the movie. Everybody keeps trusting Troy to lock up after he's done being in places where he probably doesn't need to be. And as far as the overall movie itself, a lot of conflict. Where are we going to college? What are we doing with this final school musical? A lot of messiness.
Yeah, and we left off like pretty much just as Troy got his epiphany. Like, he needed to sing it out, scream it out, and he was very confused about his future. But by the end of this movie, he'll seem to have it all figured out. And you got to think it had something to do with this scene with Miss Darbus that we left off with.
Yeah, Miss Darbus finally came to Troy to admit her truth here, that she is the one who submitted Troy's application to Juilliard. And Troy is a little shocked. She's a little apologetic about it, being like, sorry if I overstepped. And he's like, no, it's fine. You know, I really needed more stress in my life. I appreciate it. And what's he going to do?
Yeah, so like I mentioned in the last episode, we really nailed it this time. It cut off at the hour 20-minute mark as soon as this scene ended, so just in time for us to get into the next scene of the movie.
Which I think is perfect. Like you just said, also, not just because it cut off at the end of a scene, but like because if we had gotten into maybe even the next like 3 minutes and I saw Gabriella biking around Stanford, I don't know that the podcast would have ended the same way last time. I feel like I would have been way too distracted to like properly analyze anything else.
Yep. It is canon that Gabriella can't ride, because we saw her taking the bus to school. So obviously she does not have her license. So yeah, I guess to get around the campus. I don't know if she bought this bike as soon as she got to Stanford or what's going on here. But yeah, she is she's riding her bike all around campus here.
Yeah, you know, that's the first thing you do when you get to a new school. You know, I have no idea how big the Stanford campus is. I'm sure, you know, she's staying on campus in a dorm somewhere, and it's just so big that she can't get around without this bike with a, you know, pretty little basket in front.
I mean, she's only going to be there for, you know, a week or two or however long this program
is. Did things go the way she wants them to?
Yeah, that's true. Did she bring her bike just for this? Did she rent a bike, buy a bike just for this week she's going to be on camp? It doesn't seem like the smartest thing to do. I feel like she could probably walk around just for the small amount of time she's going to be there.
It's really strange. So she's biking around Stamford. Back in Albuquerque, we have rehearsals going on, which seem to be going okay. Ryan's working on choreography, but actually nothing he's doing wrong here. It's Zeke and Jason in the back that are putting together the set and almost kill Sharpay Evans on site as the piece comes flying at Sharpay and Troy as they're standing on the set. But, you know, that's going to prompt them to take a bit of a break. Kelsey calls for Troy's attention because he's definitely like spacing out. Obviously the Gabriella not being there is really getting to him. He's looking like a sad boy, and Kelsey's going to kind of try to, you know, pump him up, being like, come on, we have to do this. Otherwise it's the Sharpay show. So we all have to do this for Gabriella. You know, let's just have fun. Come on. It's senior year. Come on, come on, come on.
Yeah, she calls him Hoops Man. They've been trying out some nicknames for Troy in this one. Hoops Man, just some stuff like that. And not much else to really talk about in this scene, but I do love the Kelsey and Troy friendship. It's not something that they've really shown developing over the three movies, but I feel like these two really do, you know, they're friends with each other. We saw them, you know, kind of comfort each other a little in the last part. Kelsey gave him a little side hug. So nice to see these two getting along. I wish we could have had more time to explore their friendship, but from what we get, nice to see.
I mean, this whole thing started, people forget, with Kelsey tripping all over the stage, flying her exactly. papers in the air like they are, you know, confetti at a party, and Troy coming to pick them up and being nice guy.
That's right. So. And she picked up a few more friends along the way, but she'll always remember Troy was the first one that was ever nice to her in this school.
Yes, absolutely. So Troy and Chad are going to head back to Troy's house, where Troy shows his mom his prom suit that he's picked out. She absolutely loves it. She gives him a little tug at the cheek. She gives Chad a little tug on the chin just to, you know, compliment their work picking it out. But he actually says Gabriella's the one that picked it out. Speaking of Gabriella, she's going to give Troy a call and update him on where she's at in life.
Yes, and she all of a sudden doesn't want to come back for prom. I have no idea what she says when she first calls him, and I turned the captions on, and they must be wrong, because it said, "I can't be a little adult right now, Troy. I'm hoping you understand
that."
That's
exactly what the caption said for me, too, and I did not understand what was happening.
Yeah, but like, I hope Troy understood that, because I sure did not. That cannot be what she said, because it doesn't make any sense.
What do you think it's like? Okay, well, I had the script open before, so I can pull it back up and see if that matches.
I replayed it a few times and I still couldn't, like, I don't think she says that, but I have no idea what else she could have said, because I can't be a little adult right now, Troy. I'm hoping you understand that.
No, she says that. That's as far as what the script-o-rama says. It says, we need to talk. I can't be a little adult right now, Troy. I'm hoping you understand that. No,
don't
even say
that.
Do we want to do some Lonely Boys Theater?
Yeah, I don't have the script open, but we could have.
Gabriella, prom is in 2 days. You're supposed to be on a plane right now. Well, it's taking me 2 weeks to get used to being away from you, from East High and all my friends. I can't be a little adult right now. She doesn't say it again, but
you know how little adults are always going to and from their old high school. I just can't be a little adult. I have to be a big adult. I have to stay where I am. And she says, she's like, so what? I come back, go to prom and leave again. And that's what I've been saying. This timeline has never made any sense. Why would she go to Stamford, come back for prom, then go back to Stamford and miss the show, and then come back for graduation? If she's staying home for prom, why wouldn't she be able to stay home for the show?
Movie suspense.
Yeah. So she was going to come home from prom, leave and miss the show, then come home again for graduation. She's finally realizing that this doesn't make sense. And Troy's very upset, but Gabriella, she's done with the goodbyes. She doesn't want to have to say goodbye another three times with this, you know, back and forth little adult plan. She just wants to do the one goodbye and just stay in Stanford forever, I guess.
I love you, Wildcat, but I need to stay right here where I am. I'm sorry. I love you, Wildcat.
She's big into calling him Wildcat.
She loves calling him Wildcat. Like, it's not like even a pet name. It's not even, it's just, that's his name. She either forgot his name or she just replaced it in her phone, in her brain.
I love you, Wildcat.
I love you, Wildcat. You're crazy, Wildcat. Oh my God, Wildcat.
You're so crazy, Wildcat.
I can't come home, Wildcat. I'm sorry, Wildcat.
You also mentioned that Troy's mom also in the scene. These contract negotiations must have been intense for this movie, because Troy's mom is in like three scenes. She was like, you triple my screen time or I walk this time. This is getting ridiculous. So good for her there.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, bravo to Lucille Bolton, the MVP of the Bolton household, who's, you know, probably the most reasonable person in there. And glad we're finally seeing more of her. But yeah, Gabriella is letting down her Wildcat with this disappointing news. She doesn't want to come home. She's starting to get, you know, content with the idea of not having Troy and all of the rest of her friends around. And, you know, she already left. So, like you said, like, what's the point of going back home?
Why does Stanford do this to their poor honors kids? Make them miss graduation.
I don't know if everybody has it as, like, great as Gabriella seems to. Like, Gabriella has, like, we talk about Troy has the school in the palm of his hands, but, like, the way that Troy is going to, you know, very soon tell Gabriella, like, the school changed because of you. Like, Gabriella has the school in the palm of her hands.
Yeah, Gabriella was only at the school for 2 years, but she changed everything in the short time she was there.
Yeah, her power, it's insane. But Troy is, you know, he can't believe it. He doesn't understand why she's being like this. And, you know, when she ends the call, she's basically just like, she hangs up on him, really. She's just like, I'm sorry, like, that's it. Hangs up the phone.
She's done with goodbyes. She's done with them.
She's got nothing else to say here. Troy throws his phone onto his bed. It goes flying into the wall like we've all done a million times. And it feels like that wasn't what they were going for with the scene, but they left it in. It's kind of the vibe I got. Chad is still there, of course, at Troy's house, and he goes to comfort him, basically just saying, look, Gabriella's one step ahead of you as usual. This is like, we're all about to say goodbyes. I'm going to have to say goodbye to Taylor. She's going to Yale. But you and me, we're getting a fresh new start. It's a whole new ball game at U of A. And Troy's like, well, maybe I don't see my life as much of a ball game anymore. Kind of like making his little hints to Chad that, like, maybe I don't play basketball anymore. But Chad, you know, never is going to pick up on that kind of hint. So he's just like, relax, let's have fun. We're going to go to prom. You know, we're not going to let this ruin our prom. And Troy's like, you're right. I'm still having prom. But that's not what he means.
Right. Even though Troy is very serious when he says, well, maybe I don't see my life as a ball game anymore. Chad doesn't pick up on that. Then when Chad's like, all right, well, you know, as long as you go to prom, and Troy's like, oh, I'll go to prom. Chad does not pick up on the fact that Troy is a little weird saying these things in such a serious tone, but he's like, all right, that's my guy. See you there.
Yeah. It's like, usually you'd expect someone to be like, wait, why'd you say it like that? Or like, what do you mean?
Why are you looking directly into the camera when you say that? I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, Troy does not mean he's going to his actual prom. He means he is planning to there's so much to break down here.
Okay. Yeah, this scene raises even more questions than the junkyard scene.
I can't even explain what happens next. It's just, we can explain it with questions.
The last 40 minutes of this movie may be the most ridiculous stuff that has ever happened in this franchise, and that's saying something.
Okay, ready? So let's play a game. Let's just explain this scene with questions only. You can go first. any question you have about how we got here.
Okay. All right, let's see. How did Troy drive all 1,053 miles to Stanford in the truck that we have flagged up multiple times? This truck sucks. There's no way it makes... How did he do this? How did he drive all the way there?
How did Troy know exactly where on campus Gabriella was going to be when he got there? Gabriella, this isn't the days and time where we have, like, you know, trackers on our phones where we can send each other our locations. And even if we did, Gabriella wouldn't be sending it to Troy. How did he know where to go and what exact tree to hide in to wait for her?
To jump up. Oh my God. How long did it take him to get there? Has he just been missing school for 2 days while he road trips to Stanford?
How did he get his parents to approve him doing this? He drove across. Stanford is in Connecticut, right? That's far from New Mexico. How did he, like you said, drive all the way there with his parents' approval? I don't know what the timeline is here, but how? Yeah, that was like six questions.
Why is he wearing his tux? I mean, I guess I know that it's his prom, but, and I guess he already rented the tux, so might as well. But he wears a tux to climb up a tree.
All right. This is tough. Why does he have a smile on his face when Gabriella shows up, thinking that after that emotional goodbye that they had on the phone, that Gabriella is going to be happy to see him? Gabriella literally said, I don't want to see you guys again anytime soon because I'm starting to be content with this decision of where I am. And he comes showing up smiling, laughing, giggling in a suit, in his tux, being like, hey,
let's see. I'm going to be almost out here, but what would have happened if he, like, to your point of how did he know where to go? What would have happened if he climbed that tree and looked out and just saw Gabriella, like, all the way across campus? Would he have just been like, oh, shit, I fucked this one up, and, like, yell across campus to her or try to, like, sprint towards her? I don't know what plan B would have been.
Yeah, what if he never what if she never showed up in the exact path that he expected that she was going to? How long did it take him to research this? If he's so good at researching this kind of stuff, why is he, like, I don't know if he's a terrible student, but, like, he doesn't seem like the best student.
Mm-hmm. And all there's right, we... just to try and answer some of these questions, and there are no answers, but there's no way he should have been comfortable making this trip with his car because we know that it's going to break down any second, but he makes it all the way there and back. And
okay, question, whose car did he steal? That's not his. If it made it all this way.
Car? Okay, so I mean, I guess that that answers that question though. If his truck's not if that's not even his truck, then he doesn't have to worry about it breaking down. But yeah, whose is it then?
I couldn't tell you. I mean, it's probably from the junkyard. I guess it's one of the ones that have been fixed up and it's ready to go, but there's no chance it's his. We've seen how his car has been driving the entire film. You cannot convince me that's his. Question, why didn't he bring a friend? I mean, I know that he's trying to have this moment with Gabriella, but that's a long road trip. You want to sing along by yourself in the car for however many hours? No.
He's also lucky that no security guard or school official saw him climbing a tree in a tuxedo and kicked him off the premises. God. I'm glad this somehow all worked out for him, because there's so much that should have went wrong.
Yeah, I mean, she also, okay, question not for Troy. Gabriella, why are you not locking your bike up? Why are you just placing your bike in the bike rack with no lock?
Yeah, that is, I mean, she's going to get her bike stolen eventually. I mean, she's going to leave soon, but this would have ended with her bike getting stolen. And that's, of course, when we get her her big declaration of, you're so crazy, Wildcat.
You're so crazy, Wildcat.
And Gabrielle also has a question for him. She's like, why are you always climbing in trees? And so, what's with you in trees?
It's just Troy is so crazy and random. It's crazy how random he is. He's so silly. It's so crazy.
He gives his own reveal where he's maybe I like climbing trees because I can see things more clearly up here.
Oh, so
okay.
Deep. So
sure.
Deep.
Sure. Yeah. Very, very deep.
So Troy is basically getting at here that he is not going to prom unless it's with her. And she's like, well, prom is in Albuquerque, 1,000 miles away, where apparently you just came from. And he's like, no. My prom is wherever you are. If I'm going to have one last dance at East High, it's going to be with you. Which, okay, so we're going to get here, a very cute rendition of a reprise of Can I Have This Dance, which, we'll pause for your comments on all that to see if you like the reprise any better, if it helped with your thoughts on the original. I'm not sure, but it's very cute. It's all of the ridiculousness aside of how did we get here, the fact that they're having their own stupid little prom here in the middle of campus, people are probably looking at them like they're crazy, which, yeah, they kind of are. And the tree turns into this beautiful, beautifully lit tree in the middle. They're in the gymnasium in their minds with their friends all dancing around them. And it's really sweet. So I don't know. Did this improve your opinion on the song at all?
I don't know. I figured you must be loving this, but I'm enjoying it because I love these two and I'm rooting for them. And we got the nice prom sequence that you mentioned where they're, in the gym and their friends are there, or at least they're imagining it or whatever. Chad once again wearing his Danforth 8 on the back of his tux. Someone needs to tell him that this cannot happen. I don't know.
I still didn't
why.
See it.
I will admit I even sang along a little this time as they were dancing and singing. Are we ranking this reprise? I will probably be asking this for every single song.
I think the official rule, what we can say here is going to be, and I think that we'll apply this rule unless you disagree, for when we get to, the next episode of this podcast. If it's a reprise with the same people singing, forget it. Just combine that with your, combine that with the original song and put it all together when you have your thoughts on the song. So when you're talking about Can I Have This Dance, we'll talk about the original and, the reprise that comes later. But when there's obviously a song like You Are the Music in Me, where there's two different versions because there's different singers in two different versions, then it's going to count separately.
Okay, great. I love that. That's a great rule. I think that's the one we should apply going forward. Because, again, this would just be something where it's the same thing. It's just shorter. And, so I think it does make a lot more sense to kind of tack it onto the end of the original version that we already know, especially because it's the same two people singing, and just kind of grade it as one thing.
Or if we really want to be Wildcats and Wildmats, we can rank all the reprises at the end. And
stay tuned for the very end of the very last podcast. We will do the big reprise ranking that everyone's been waiting for.
Everyone's been waiting for, yes.
I enjoyed it. It's still one of the more forgettable songs, even in this version. But I do like watching them, have their little prom here. And we even get the rare Troy and Gabriella kiss after they finish singing. I guess all this distance was good for something. In Stanford, they don't have to worry about everyone on campus trying to break them up as they kiss. No one really cares about them.
Yeah, you're right. I have the same note. They get a big kiss here. First one of the movie, I think, or maybe I just
I believe so as well. I think this is the first one.
Yeah, it feels like it. I mean, the moment that they pause down for here is this is the first time. Third time in the series we see? No, second time in the series we see them kiss, because it was at the end of High School Musical 2.
Yep.
And now we're in the final 40 minutes of the entire series, seeing our main characters, the couple here, kiss for the second time ever. Yep, they really build it up.
it's huge.
Yeah.
And that's when Troy's going to have his heart to heart with Gabriella here. We talked about this a little already, but he's crediting the change in East High to Gabriella, and he's telling her that it's changed back now that she's gone. You know, East High, you may have been ready to say goodbye to East High, but East High isn't ready to say goodbye to you. Really, really putting the pressure on her to come back.
Yeah, I don't know how she did this. Again, her power just to influence the entire school to like completely change based around her. Like, we know how, like, we've seen this all play out between the ending of the first one where everybody rallied around Troy and Gabriella making their call back for breaking free. And then in the second one, it was just, you know, everybody's all sad. Anytime Gabriella's not there, everybody loves Gabriella. Yep. Ryan, Taylor, like Martha, like she has like the best social game of like an under the radar kind of player that you could ever hope for. You know, winning her seasons of East High Survivor over and over and over again, 100%.
I'm voting for her.
Yeah, I mean, how could you not? How could you and see her in the final two chair and not vote for her?
Of course. And every time she comes back, which is a bunch of times, they are all so excited to see her. So I mean, it makes sense. Once you know she's here for only 2 years, she's changing the school. Once she flashes that smile at you, I mean, how could you not vote for her?
Like full Mischfitz upside of like nobody's ever voting her out of the game. It's just not happening.
I can't envision a scenario.
Yeah, everybody loves her. So we're gonna leave these two here about. You know, at the end of this scene where Troy, like you said, is just telling her it's East High is not ready to say goodbye to you. So basically saying like you need to come back so that everybody can like, you know, so you can have a proper goodbye and so that everybody can say goodbye to you because we love you and all this kind of stuff. So all sappy.
I hope her bike was able to fit in Troy's new truck.
I think she ditched the bike.
All right. Fair
I
enough.
Mean, it definitely would fit, but like you don't need the bike back in Albuquerque.
No, yeah, you're right.
And it's like you could buy a new one. And she didn't lock it up anyway, so she obviously doesn't care much about it. We go back to the school. Sharpay is backstage doing some exercising, some warm-ups before it looks like we're at the big show. It's time for the big show that we've all been waiting for, and she's doing, like I said, some stretches. She gets on the phone with mommy or daddy, I don't know who it was, and they're both out in the lobby getting ready to watch their baby perform, and also Ryan. Rocketman is going to swing by here talking to Sharpay. He introduces himself saying, you know, I don't think we've met just yet. She's kind of like laughing in his face because how could you not? Also, she's very appalled by his cologne, which he pulls out of his pocket. It's called Babe Magnet. And it's actually so strong. It makes her sneeze like in his face.
Yeah, it's very, this is something, she must be allergic to this or something, Sharpay, because something's not really gelling with her. And Jimmy the Rocket Zara, he's rebranding himself. He doesn't call himself Rocket Man. He calls himself Jimmy the Rocket, which is notably not the name we're used to. But I guess he's trying something new here. Rocket Man must not be working as well as he thought he would. And you would think, because Jimmy the Rocket, he's going to get a text in a second here from Troy. He shows it off to his buddy before even reading it. Been driving all night. I'll try to make it for the second act. You would figure since we're right before showtime, people would start to notice that maybe Troy isn't here and would start to be freaking out and like trying to, you know, nonstop call him, look for him. But apparently they're all just like, has anyone seen Troy around? No. Oh, he's probably here somewhere and don't seem to realize he's missing until Troy sends this text like 2 minutes before they're about to go on, which, by the way, Troy couldn't give them any more heads up. Like at some point he must have known he wasn't going to make it home for the show in time.
Yeah, I guess this is like before the days of like group chat. So he doesn't really have like a big group chat to text everybody in and tell them the news. So I mean, I'm sure he definitely easily could have made some more calls or texts to tell other people that he wasn't going to be there aside from just Jimmy the Rocket, but that's the way he goes. And quickly before we get to that, sneeze humor, very funny. It works for me every time. Like you don't see it often enough in at least the TV or film that I watch, but like a sneeze can be very funny if you do it right. Like sneeze versus fart humor, I think that there's merit in both. Some people don't like the fart humor at all, but the sneeze humor, it like especially, and like it's so disgusting, especially in like times of COVID, but like 100 out of 100 times as a child, if somebody sneezed on somebody else in a TV show, I was crying, peeing my pants on the floor.
Well, I didn't know that about you. But if we're talking sneeze humor versus fart humor, I'm very anti bathroom humor. I think it is very rarely funny, if ever. Sneeze humor, I'm fairly neutral on, and I guess I can be convinced moving forward that this it could have some merit. I've never really thought about the merits of sneeze humor, but yeah, sure. There's definitely
just like
some some potential here.
You expect, you know, somebody sneezes and they're going to turn their head or something like that. But just like when it comes out of, because sneezes come out of absolutely nowhere for the most part. I mean, sometimes, you know, you can see that someone's about to sneeze, but very often you don't have any warning. So when Sharpay is just, you know, sniffing this stuff that this kid is shoving in her face by her nose, and all of a sudden just lets a sneeze rip right into his face. It's very funny. So, you know, people that appreciate sneeze humor, you know, solidarity here. Where were we? Troy, yes.
Troy completely leaving them hanging, and
talking to the
snot rocket.
He was
definitely
man.
Having a very fun drive back with Gabriella, and he at some point he was like, "Oh shit, you know what? I should probably let them know I'm not going to make it."
Yeah,
and
courtesy.
He says been driving all night. He doesn't say he's still driving. So is he still driving, or does he like get there and he's like, "I should probably take a quick nap or something before I try to make it on stage." All of this is unclear. All we know is been driving all night. I'll try to make it for the second act.
Have to imagine that Gabriella sent that text, unless Gabriella's driving his car, his broken down
true,
truck
yeah.
or so. Not his truck. Because hopefully he's not texting and driving. But yeah, so he lets Rocket Man know that he's going to be late. He's going to hopefully make it for the second act, but, you know, break a leg out there, which makes me think that Gabriella did send this text because she knows
That's
what
true.
Break a leg means now.
She knows what it means now. And Jimmy the Rocket is also someone who's never heard the expression break a leg because he's very confused at first.
Yeah.
But Darbus, true professional, does not panic as much as you'd think someone would. She just starts making the necessary adjustments. And is this – we've never seen them actually put on a musicale. We've seen the callbacks and we've seen – a talent show. Is this the only show that they're putting on, or is it just like opening night or something? Because you'd think they'd have another chance to get this right, but I'm just realizing like it all comes down to this one performance that they're going to put on.
Yeah, I mean, certainly like in realistic schools, whatever, you expect there's more performances, but they definitely frame it here that this is the night of the musicale. Like there's so many different musicales over the year that maybe they do just do one.
Yeah, that's true. Since they are doing 17 performances per year, it probably makes sense that they would only do one performance of each. And if they don't, you know, hit it out of the park for one, they can get it the next time. But there you go. But this is the last one, so very important. Also, you know, there are some special guests in attendance this time, so that's also amping up the pressure.
Yeah, and I don't mean to keep, like, nitpicking at these scenes for cheap jokes, but, like, Darbus reading over, what's his name, Dion? Reading over his shoulder, Rocket Man's friend here, like, to read the text. I was like, who gave you the permission to read this text message, and how did you know that this was a text message you should be reading? It's crazy.
And if we're gonna nitpick Darbus, the fact that she... Rocket Man, you know, stops breathing at one point. She tells him to do the Heimlich maneuver. I don't think that's going to work.
Yeah.
On anything.
She's like, oh, it's fine. Just, you know, give him the Heimlich or something. Like, what? That's your advice.
Darbus is not freaking out at all. She's just like, listen, the show must go on. And give him a Heimlich maneuver. Let's do it. I don't care that Troy and Gabriella both are not here for some reason. Let's go.
And I absolutely also like love the Rocket Man move of like, I just got a text from Troy. This is so cool. I don't even need to read it. You read it for me. Like he just flips his phone
exactly.
into Dion's hands being like, probably just checking up on me, seeing if I'm okay, seeing how we're doing, seeing if we're hanging out after school. And then Dion reads the text being like, dude.
Yeah. I mean, that could have been anything. It could have been a text that was just like, for the last time, please stay out of my room. This is getting weird. I don't want you snooping around in there. We have to put an end to this.
Yeah. So a lot of trust there. So the crowd fills in their seats and the show is ready to begin. Darbus takes her seat as well. Everybody's out in the audience. Kelsey's going to sit down at the piano and we see the curtain rise with this big banner on stage saying senior year, in case anybody didn't know what the show is about. It's about their senior year. And we're going to get a song or a melody here entitled Senior Year Spring Melody, which is going to essentially be, in case anybody's not, you know, watching along or forgot what happens here, like a bunch of different scenes and combinations of songs that have already been sang for the most part in the film already to this point. So we start off with one that actually had not yet been. Ryan and Kelsey are going to lead us in here with a song that was, I guess, called Last Chance. And it's just a very nice, slow song of them. It's our last year. And, you know, they sound nice together. And then the whistle blows, out come the cheerleaders. I always want to say Cheerios, singing like a reprise of Now or Never. And then we get some I Want It All, we get some I Just Want to Be With You. So it's a lot, you know, we're really getting all the hits here.
Yes. Kelsey and Ryan, first people that get to sing as the composer and choreographer, I guess. Ryan weirdly winks at her during the song. This romance plot never went anywhere. Neither did him like taking her to prom to try and get the song from her. That was just something that like didn't really go anywhere, but I guess they're still singing to each other and Ryan's winking. So there's that. I don't, they have the senior year banner hanging up, so people, I guess, should know that this is about senior year, but I would be very curious to know if anyone knows what this musical was actually about by the time it's over, because I watched this whole segment and I don't know what's going on, even though I know that it's supposed to be based on their lives. There's no plot to this musical at all. It's just a medley of songs that we know. And because of that, it's only listed as the spring musical medley or whatever is going on here. So I don't know. I did not know what to do about ranking this, because it really is just going to be a bunch of the songs that we've heard before.
I mean, that's
all combined into the one musical.
This one counts. Yes. This is a brand new song.
I know it's tough because I don't know what to do with it. So it's going to be tough. But you mentioned we get the big Wildcats championship game that just happened a few months ago.
16 and 16 and 16 and we're
already seeing the audience reacting very strongly to this, and this is the best crowd that's ever gone to a show of all time. We saw them piling in. Troy's dad is still in attendance, and I guess his mom as well, even though Troy is not here. I guess he hasn't gotten the memo yet that Troy is going to be late.
Yeah.
Miss Montez also, we'll see in the crowd later, she I guess either wanted to go to support anyway, even though there's no way she could have known that Gabriella would be there, unless they, I guess they could have also shot her a text, but I don't know if she had a ticket or it doesn't matter, I guess, but everyone's there. They were going to support the musical no matter who was in it, no matter if Troy and Gabriella were there or not. And we see them already the first song and they are losing their minds. There's going to be 15 separate standing ovations in this one show alone. Like this is what you dream of. This is the audience you want when you are doing your big spring musicale.
Also, I mean, keep in mind that like we've heard these songs before, but the last time that we heard them, it was like in dream sequence type events where like nobody actually heard the basketball player singing Now or Never. So this is these people hearing these songs for the first time being like, wow, this is a good song.
Oh, like, yeah. And they're loving it.
Imagine if like Coach Bolton knew that they were singing this the entire time they were playing that big championship game. He'd be like, no way. Like, you guys are crazy. That didn't happen. Big attendees here are the Juilliard representatives. We see in the crowd the two, you know, people that are supposed to be representing Juilliard that are, scouting out from the show to see who's going to get the scholarship are in the crowd. And we're going to see a lot of them reacting like they're like the Muppets, you know, people that are up on the side of the stage. I mean, a little less grouchy, but.
Mr. and Mrs. Juilliard themselves are here to offer their commentary throughout the musicale.
Yeah. So as we get started, the whistle blows, and where we start with Now or Never, I don't know who was singing in this. I wanted to guess it was Chad and Zeke and Jason, maybe, but like it didn't sound good at all. It sounded like very bad.
Yeah, I guess it would have had to be them. So,
But like Chad can sing. So I was like, is it just Zeke and Jason? Like, I don't know. It was not impressive. I mean, it was a noticeable lack of Troy in that part. So get back.
Yeah,
soon,
definitely not going to be the same with Troy. Not in the number. So really got to hope he makes it for the second act at least.
Yeah. So we're cutting all around all over the place here. Sharpay is in her dressing room getting ready because we know that even once the show starts, Sharpay is not ready to go yet. Like as much of a professional as she is, she will get ready until the last possible second in her dressing room. And Dion comes in, who's apparently taken on the role of like stage manager here, Rocketman's friend. So he comes in to talk to her and she sends him quickly off to go find Troy so that they can rehearse the kissing scene. And he's like, oh, you didn't find out yet about, and she's like, no, go get him now. And he's like, okay, obviously, you know, she does not know yet that Troy's not here, and he's been dismissed twice now, so he's not going to tell her.
Yeah, she hasn't gotten the memo, nor has she noticed that Troy's in here. And, you know, she says she wants to rehearse the kissing scenes, but whoever wrote this musical should know that Troy and Gabriella never actually kissed. So this whole production here is very fraudulent if they're writing in kissing scenes into this musical.
And like, am I crazy? Or like at the end of the song, when Troy and Gabriella are like locking eyes and smiling at each other, there's not even a kiss.
I don't think there is, yeah.
So the kissing scene either got cut at the last minute from the show, or they just decided against it because they're against kissing in public.
I think Sharpay was lying. I think she was trying to convince everyone that there was a kissing scene, even though there definitely is not.
Yeah, she just wanted a smooch, so.
Yeah, that's right.
We are going to see Ryan on stage doing I Want It All, time for his big performance where he has the spotlight here. I don't know why, you know, Sharpay or I guess Tiara wasn't in this because that's Ryan.
Yeah, he gets to sing it all by himself. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, he has the spotlight to himself and that's fine. Even the guy from Mr. Juilliard is in the crowd.
Yeah, Mr. Juilliard.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, that's the choreographer. So he's like giving him bonus points because he's not only in the show, but he also choreographed the whole thing. So, you know, bravo to Ryan.
Yeah, what's very interesting is apparently they watch the show and like make their decision on who gets the scholarship like right away based on the results of this performance. That is so much pressure to put on these kids in the play. I've never seen anything like this.
At least it's like, you know, they have like, you know, all these people around them to kind of boost them up. Like when you think of like Rachel Berry and her performance for Niada, it's like, it's just you on the stage. Like if you mess that up, you got to go track that person down and get
never heard
callback.
Of a scholarship being decided this way. But Ryan's parents also give him a huge ovation, and I have no idea what they're wearing, but they are very excited.
You think Ryan or Sherpay applied for NIADA?
Yeah, I think they must have at
I'm
least
surprised.
Applied.
Nobody ended up going there, but it's okay. So Sherpay is off stage yelling at one of the stagehands, asking like, "Where's Troy? Like, it's time for us to go on." He's like, "Go, go, you're up!" Pretty much like pushing her onto the stage. She comes out onto the balcony, which is, you know, pretty much Gabriella's balcony, but Gabriella is not in the show anymore. So there's the story for her big debut, where we're gonna get "I Just Want to Be with You," but this is going to be the Sherpay and supposed to be Troy version. It's gonna end up being the Sherpay and Rocket Man version, but not without a whole lot of comedy along the way.
Oh, yeah. And first we get, you know, we have Ashley Tisdale playing Sherpay Evans, doing a Gabriella Montez impression on stage. Like, so many layers here.
Yeah. Like, she was supposed to be sounding a little strange, right? Like, she didn't sound her Ashley Tisdale best. It sounded like she was trying to sound like it did not belong, like this part did not belong to her.
Yeah, it did seem a little off, but I'm not buying this as like a Gabriella impression, but there was something going on. You know, she's going to put on a fine performance nonetheless, but fake Troy has to pump himself up, and, you know, he misses his cue to come on stage, which is when we get, you know, Sherpay has to kind of, even when we're miles apart,
even if we're miles and miles and miles and miles and miles apart.
And then he wakes up and he, Sherpay didn't realize.
I wanted you.
Sherpay didn't realize that Troy never came to rehearse the kissing scene, so she still doesn't know what's going on. But
there's nothing we can do. Just wanna be with you. And yeah, this whole time we're
watching.
Like,
what is he wearing? Troy has never worn anything like this outfit that
I don't know.
That
he must have been shopping in like the Chad closet of whatever else Chad was wearing. I mean, which we didn't see the clown in the show, so I guess there was leftover whatever. He comes out in this wild, you know, there's like a boa and there's like an 80s hat. I have no idea what's going on here with the outfit, but
it's crazy.
Having fun with Sherpay on stage. She's not having much fun. She's kind of like, you know, staying in the zone as much as she can because there's people from Juilliard here and she's performing. And this is you know, this is the show. This is the big moment. You can't just, you know, pretend like it's rehearsal and be like, what the hell is happening? So she has to go with it. She almost falls off the stage at one point because, like, he is just so repulsive to her. She sneezes on him, which of course
again.
Makes
you
me
must
laugh.
Have loved that.
Loved the sneeze. And no, because the line, they like timed it so perfectly. It was just like, I just want to be with you.
Yes, that was very good. And, you know, everyone is so excited when he comes out. Darbus loves it, even though this is not the show that she had planned. You know, for a first performance for Jimmy the Rocket, definitely not bad for his first performance. You know, you mentioned you didn't remember last part if this kid saves the show somehow. So I guess he kind of does here because he has to pretend to be Troy.
It's like, I think I you know, knew or remembered somewhere deep down that like Tiara and Rocket Man were going to have like a significant enough part in this last part of the movie, but like I was just kind of trying to remember like how important was it, and as far as like how important was it, I mean, you get a funny scene out of it with the whole Sherpay thing here.
Yeah,
again, was it like the most necessary? No,
not at all. And even we will get to the Tiara Gold plot, which is even less necessary. I don't know why they had this in, but, you know, more on that later. The audience, once again, losing it. They're, like, laughing along. I don't know if this musical was supposed to be a comedy or not, because everyone is laughing hysterically, but also, like, really loving the performance they're getting. Enough that he, like, it inspires, like, a standing ovation for him. Like, he takes, like, a curtain call in the middle of the show. People are just cheering for him as he finishes this number up.
Yeah, I mean, Troy and Gabriella show up here and right at the end of the song. So Sherpay storms off stage, walking right past them. Oh, perfect. Go save the day. Go for it. Whoopee. You're here. Yay. And they look on stage because Ryan kind of like points them to be like, you have to see this. And yeah, Rocket Man is out there like taking his bows. Like the audience is going wild. Like it's a surprise he doesn't get a Juilliard scholarship on the spot. It's just they love him.
They are giving out a third scholarship.
This guy is a star on the stage, which again, I really didn't need the Rocket Man of it all.
No,
I would have
really
so much
didn't.
Preferred if this was like not this exact same storyline, but if like Zeke or someone was Troy's understudy, and sure. I don't know, they could have played up a little bit more of like the Sharpay still not all the way into Zeke, and maybe Zeke's making his last efforts here in High School Musical 3 and Sharpay still resisting, and then, you know, Troy comes in and, you know, is going to still take over his song at the end. But I don't know, I don't need to rewrite the script of everything that I watch.
We'll save that for the rewrite, because Troy and Gabriella, they make their grand entrance. Gabriella is staying true to form, and I have to imagine she did not tell anyone at Stanford that she was leaving, so really just keeping up with, she's the least responsible, least dependable person in these movies, and I hate to say a bad word about Gabriella, but I mean, she quits everything and gives no one any notice.
Yeah, but she knows that her social game is strong enough that no one's ever going to be mad at her about it.
It doesn't matter. She gets through it every time, but I mean, I guess it really doesn't matter if there's one less person in the honors program, so, you know, no sweat there, but I guess they're here, so it must be the second act already.
You're crazy, and Wildcat.
And we see the big standing ovation for the Rocket, and just very unorthodox experience here for how a musical usually works, but I'm glad everyone is having a good time.
Yes, and the drama is only going to keep building here, because we go backstage. Sharpay is back in her dressing room. She spends so much time there. And of course, it's the Sharpay dressing room. It's like this glamorous, you know, studio, essentially, that's just like in a closet somewhere. But she goes back there and she opens the door. And who is in her chair getting ready in her spot other than Tiara Gold, her personal assistant who's been working with her since the movie started, who is very clearly sitting here sabotaging Sharpay, you know, as best as she can. Sharpay is like, what are you doing? And she's like, reminder, like, I'm playing Sharpay. You're playing Gabriella, but Gabriella's back now, so that sucks for you. But I'm still playing Sharpay. She's like, I took this job with you to learn the ropes at East High. And, you know, next year it's going to be my drama department. So step aside, sweetie. And Sharpay, like, does not know what to do with herself. She is genuinely, like, shocked because she did not see this coming, which is, you know, kind of insane, because Sharpay is the one who like does all this stuff all the time anyway, so you'd think that she could see it coming, but she was just completely blindsided by Tiara Gold, who, you know, the most important character of this film, just pulled off the ultimate heist. It's insane how she got this past Sharpay.
Right, of course, we are now seeing this whole moment build up, that the whole three movies, of course the big bad is Tiara Gold here. Going to lead to this. Apparently this was her master plan all along, which, once again, a lot of moving parts here. There's no way she could have accounted for any of this, but, you know, these East High students are always getting lucky in their plans. She mentions she's going to run the drama club next year, which, I don't know, Sharpay, as of now, we think she's probably not going to be there anymore, so I don't know why she would care who's running the club when she's gone. But she's just kind of confused, and she never saw this coming, because Tiara was so loyal and so sweet. So this is just turning into a mess here, where literally no one is actually playing themselves in this musical.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, though, the way that like this relationship goes down, because easily, like, Tiara, like, I mean, I get that she's just like, I guess, this villainous person who like wanted to make this big stand for some reason. Like, I don't know what she has against Sharpay. I know that we all, you know, that Sharpay can be, you know, a lot of times, but what did Sharpay do to Tiara? It's like, she very easily could have been like, okay, like, so next year it's going to be my thing. Like, here's your, like, here, take your bow on the way out. Like, all the Glee kids did to Rachel on her way out. Like, no one was like, Tina tried to take her down for like a minute in the episode that you actually recapped with us. But then she was like, no, I get it. This is your big year, and you do you, and then I'm going to do me next year.
And just to jump ahead, like, we'll talk about it, but this whole thing comes out of nowhere. It's just an 11th hour, just like weird plot twist that didn't need to happen. Like, we don't need to see Sharpay struggling to hold on to her power here, but then it's just resolved as easily. Like, she just jumps back on stage, beats her in whatever kind of showdown they were having on stage, and then is given the role. Like, she is and of course she is, because Darbus loves her. Of course she can just come back and be in charge of the drama club if she wants. So just as quickly as this problem came out of nowhere, it is resolved, and it just makes me ask, why is it here in the first place? We don't need it at all.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I will say that this one builds up to a scene that I do enjoy more than the Rocket Man of it all, but I guess we'll hold off on that for a second if we're going in order here. As we're going to see, just, I mean, what comes in between is kind of quick anyway. It's Troy and Gabriella take the stage. Not much costuming here. They just kind of, you know, throw on, I guess.
Not at all, I don't think, yeah.
Troy, I think, is wearing what he was driving in the car with, but that's fine. You know, big musical with a scholarship for Juilliard on the line, and that's fine. It's a reprise of excuse me, of I Just Want to Be With You. We see the Juilliard, Miss Juilliard points out that is Troy Bolton. There he is.
That is Troy Bolton.
Finally here. He jumps up on the balcony like he does best. And we get the, you know, whole cute routine that they'd been rehearsing with all the sidestepping up on top of the balcony. We do see the kids are in the back of the windows again watching. So I guess at this point we have to assume that they're doing it on purpose. Troy's even going to open the doors and let them all out onto the balcony with them. Questions again. Do we know that this thing is sturdy enough for like 100 drama kids to be dancing on? I don't trust it. The set literally fell in the rehearsal the other day, so it's really kind of making me nervous. But everybody's having a great time here. Gabriella sees Ryan and Taylor and gives them both like these really big hugs, which is like weird timing for a hug, like you're performing, but it's okay. Yep. You do you. everybody's having a great time. The Juilliard, Mr. and Mrs. Juilliard get up and they can't help but clapping along. Troy gives Gabriella some flowers, which very cute moment. Maybe it might have been the first here for me where Gabriella throws one down to Kelsey at the piano and, you know, just a cute ending of I Just Want to Be With You.
Aw, yes. All right. Well, okay. This is where I'm having even more questions. Let's get into this musicale.
Everything. It's just questions with us today.
I have some notes. This is all over the place. Troy and Gabriella show up midway through the song and are now playing the roles of Troy and Gabriella, and the audience is just excited for this and not at all confused. Like, obviously, it's a big moment. They're just happy that Troy and Gabriella are here at all, even
Can
though
they're
not.
Can I guess one of your questions?
In their costume. Yeah, go on.
Is one of them, why are they performing a song that was already performed?
Because it was already performed. We had the big ovation for Rocketman. So I feel like it must have just been an ovation in the middle of a song, and now they're picking up the song again, but with different actors playing the main roles. But the audience doesn't care. They, of course, I think they've been paid a lot of money to just give standing ovations and go wild at every point, because none of this makes sense. He actually is singing the song while walking down the aisles, as he was doing in rehearsal. He's probably very disappointed he can't climb all over the chairs because there's people actually sitting in them. But I like when he passes his parents in the audience and Troy's dad just gives like a, oh, nice, Troy's in this. This is great. And it's also nonsensical, but who cares? Like this musicale could not have been well written at all because, like I said, there's not really a plot. But everyone just wants to see Troy and Gabriella perform, and they're finally here. Mrs. Juilliard is pointing out like, oh, Troy's finally here. That's who he is. And as far as me watching this as a movie, like, it's just so, you know, they're so charming watching them perform here. Like, and everyone is back in their spots in Gabriella's room on stage behind the balcony. And then you mentioned, they all go onto the balcony and they just start hugging Gabriella. Like, obviously they're excited to see her, but the audience doesn't know that she just got back from Stanford. So this whole thing like makes no sense in the eyes of them probably, but the Juilliards love it anyway. They stand up and smile and start clapping while giving each other like a knowing look. So, I don't know. You would think this is like the big finale of the musicale. And I was like, oh, pretty quick. It's going to be over after this. But we still have some more numbers to get to.
As yeah, like you said, this is just Troy and Gabriella like jumping back in because, oh, the number's not over yet. We still haven't. We're here. We can do it.
And Troy must have went back to the gardening club to pull out some more flowers to give to Gabriella that he pulled out of nowhere, I guess. But I was just laughing the whole time watching this, but also smiling and having a good time. So because they were all having a good time up there, the audience once again losing their mind and clapping, even though they've just watched the most nonsensical performance of all time. So how can you not love watching this?
Well, one person not having a good time is Sharpay Evans, who is stewing in her dressing room. She is still absolutely miserable because of, especially as things are playing out with Tiara. I wrote in my notes Tiara Evans because like she's trying to play Sharpay, and then I started to read it back and I was like Tiara Gold. So she is thinking to herself some plan that she's gonna work up, and she even says out loud to herself, Sharpay Evans, I believe you're in the wrong costume. She looks over to her clothing rack, sees her costume is there as well, so I guess her and Tiara both had one made for themselves, which is great. It's perfect because she is about to get outside onto the stage and lay a little surprise of her own. Tiara's on stage and we are doing a reprise of Night to Remember, and Tiara's out there, big fun on the night of nights, the night of nights tonight. Let's dance on the night of nights.
And we just got the big Troy and Gabriella number.
And then in comes Tracy Turnblad.
You'd think that was the finale, but then we do go straight into this Sharpay number where, this song originally was about getting ready for the prom. Don't know what it is now in the context of this show. And now we just have the dual Sharpays, you know, fighting for their stage time and dancing with each other. Crowd absolutely living for this again, as, you know, even like the background dancers get their time to shine. They're like waving to the crowd. I would like to poll the members of this audience just to know what they think that this musical is about.
Yeah, great question. I mean, it doesn't have, like you said, it doesn't have any kind of through line, doesn't have any kind of plot, doesn't even have
there's
like
two sharp A's now.
There's no character. There's no character names. Like they're just the seniors doing their senior year spring musical. It's basically a glorified concert.
I think Darbus was also having some senioritis here, and it's just like anything goes at this point. Anything that anyone wants to do, just hop on stage and do it.
Pretty much.
Sharpay's parents don't seem concerned at all. They think it's all just part of the show. They're loving what they're seeing.
Yeah.
And yeah, if someone could just write the novelization of the spring musicale, I would read that in a heartbeat.
So so you know, getting back to I guess what I was saying is that I do enjoy this duel more than I do. So like, it's not like there's like, oh my god, so much payoff for the tiara gold of it all. Like, no, that's not a thing. But like Sharpay, it's like because Sharpay gets to have her own hero moment. I think is exactly what it is actually. Of just like for three movies now, we've seen that she's the villain and she is this awful person, and you know all things are going wrong. And sure, at many times she is the villain. It's hard to you know get around all of the things that she's doing to kind of sabotage things to make things go in her own favor. But she never until the very end gets to rejoin with the group and be like, yeah, we're all in this together. Everybody, all for one. Real summer has just begun. And now she gets a chance to take down somebody, some other villain, and everybody, you know, all of us at home are like, yeah, Sharpay. So when she comes down from the ceiling, surprise. And then when she's like duetting slash dueling with Tiara, the way that like Tiara had no idea this was coming. So Sharpay, you know, with 19 shows of experience now, comes on stage, completely like wipes the floor with her, like uses her in like her own dance performance to like completely show her who's boss. And then even all the way down, like Ryan sinks them down into the stage just to finish the song. And you know, you get the duet, the dueling all the way to the end with like the hands crossing in front of each other, and Sharpay pretty much ultimately comes out victorious.
All right, sure. I mean, she gets her hero moment, and you know that's all well and good. The duel is fun. So, all right, I guess if we need to introduce this character and this random conflict just to have this, then all right, I'm glad Sharpay got her moment here, and I guess she ends up winning. I guess the judges decided that Sharpay won this duel,
yes.
And by law, that means that she gets to return to run Drama Club and not Tiara Gold.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Which we'll talk about that. So Miss Darbus is backstage as High School Musical. Not High School Musical. We're All in This Together starts playing out on the stage. Together.
Now, is this a ranking? Are we ranking this separately, or is this part of just part of the medley? No,
I'm gonna say no. It's like essentially background music. I mean, they're kind of singing
right
it here,
yeah,
but it's not its own full. Well, no, it might be its own full song. For the sake of today, I'm gonna say no, but we'll think more on it between now, because we're recording the next, you know, last one in a couple of days to give ourselves some time. So we'll think about it more, unless you want to rank it, in which case, up to you.
It doesn't matter to me.
It's not a performance. I mean,
you're right. It is essentially background music kind of in this.
Yeah. So this is we're All in This Together graduation mix. And we hear them all singing this, you know, graduation version of We're All in This Together. Ladies and gentlemen, our seniors. And we're going to have Miss Darbus presenting all of the seniors here and essentially laying out where they are going. Do we go one by one here? I just copy and pasted the script so that I can make sure I have it all here.
Okay, you can do that, and we could like comment on each one kind of. But before we get there, I do have some more questions.
Okay.
Darbus, I guess she has kind of written herself into the musical now as she gets her role as the lead.
Well, that's the question.
To lead the graduation ceremony. Yes. This is the big question. This is not the actual graduation, right? This is just a fake graduation mm-hmm. that's happening in the musical, and like real mm-hmm. graduation hasn't happened yet. Or are they actually graduating on stage during their musical right now?
It's so strange. Like in our school, like we definitely didn't have this as a part of the show. Like this was not for anybody in the audience, but like the seniors in one of the years that we did one of the shows, like they called it like their senior showcase, where all of them kind of came together and they sang a song for everybody else, just to kind of put together a little senior project. And that's kind of what this felt like. Obviously the whole show is kind of about the seniors' year. So, you know, screw again, we really didn't talk about this much, but like screw the juniors, underclassmen, like anybody else who wanted to perform, not happening this time around. or maybe they were just background dancers. But this is all about the seniors, and this is just kind of like at the end of the show, essentially. I think the show is over. I think we're done with it, and now we're just giving like a acknowledgement to every senior here while still keeping it in the rhythm of the show with some singing of "We're All in This Together." But it's really just like,
and they're all in graduation gowns, so it's supposed to be like it's a graduation. So like, in my mind, they have right. So because Darbus, she's making like actual announcements here. This is clearly not in the script of the play because people are surprised when they are hearing their names and hearing like who got what scholarship and everything. So I don't know what order she goes in either, because it's clearly not alphabetical order, but
no.
You can take it away. Who goes first? It's Kelsey, right?
Kelsey Nielsen, the Juilliard School Scholarship recipient for music. So congratulations to Kelsey. Mr. and Mrs. Juilliard, who are in the audience, awarded her with the Juilliard Scholarship.
As the audience continues to lose their fucking mind and jump up and down to celebrate Kelsey, which I love. She's having her moment here. All the hard work that she's put in all three movies, she definitely deserves this. And, you know, everyone congratulates her. So obviously this, you know, they didn't know this was going to happen here. So this is just such a weird thing for these announcements, like to find out you're getting your scholarship, like at the end of the spring musicale that you just put on.
Right. Real quick, though, before I keep going, didn't she say what? I feel like I'm missing some from my notes. I must be, because I don't have she said where Zeke and Martha were going, but I don't have that in my notes. Right? Didn't she say where they were going?
She does not mention Zeke and Martha here, which is why, because Troy then later will mention them in his graduation speech. But so I guess Troy took it upon himself since Darbus left.
That's
left
what
them
I'm
out here.
Of. I'm like, yeah, I know that I found out where they were, what they were doing or whatever, but. Yeah, you're right. It wasn't announced here. I guess they were not important enough here for Darbus. Wow.
Right. Damn. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Thank you for clearing that up. So Jason Cross somehow gets the mention over Martha Cox. but the only thing about this is his line is, "Jason Cross, you did it. You graduated." So I guess he's not going to school. Bravo to the, you know, no school representation there for Jason.
Yeah, good for him. Yeah. You know, he just graduated and that's enough. So
that's enough. He did it. Taylor McKessie, Yale University with honors for political science or silence.
Political silence.
Bravo. I am pleased to announce that due to the excellence displayed here this evening, the Juilliard School has made an extraordinary decision. Another senior is being offered a scholarship to Juilliard. Congratulations, Mr. Ryan Evans, choreography.
Yeah, the Juilliard's just made a you know, split second decision. Like, I don't know if they had, I guess it wasn't like their power to do this. They, I guess are heads of something that they can just decide they're giving out another scholarship. You'd think they'd have to have like a whole meeting about this, but no, this show was so good. Even with all the shenanigans that were going on all night, it was so amazing that Juilliard had to give out another scholarship. And congratulations to Ryan Evans, who is the real winner in like both of these last two films.
Absolutely. Like super impressive for Ryan too. And it, like, you kind of wonder, like, did he want like a choreography scholarship? Like, is that what he got here? Like, he wants to be a performer. He wants to be up on stage with his sister, or, you know, at all up on Broadway. And I don't know. I mean, sure. I guess, you know,
I'm assuming he'll take what he can get as far as scholarships.
Having options
go,
is always good. So he can you know, always do both, I guess. But a scholarship to Juilliard, no matter what it's for, I think, like you said, he'll be happy. He'll take it. So congrats to Ryan, and congratulations to Miss Sharpay Evans, University of Albuquerque for Performing Arts.
Hooray. And she has agreed to return to East High next fall to assist Miss Darbus with the drama department. And where is that spinoff series?
Good question. Yeah, I don't know what her plan is and what, like, this is like, And you know, I'm going to keep going back here. This is a Glee podcast feed after all. Like, imagine Rachel Berry, you know, announced that she's going to NIADA, but Will's like, oh yeah, and she's also going to, you know, pop back in here once in a while and help me with the school. Like, that didn't need to happen. I get like the whole like Sharpay, you know, making one final jab into like at Tiara, who's off stage, and she's like,
right,
like basically like, haha, like you're not going to run anything because I'm still going to be here. But like, the real win here is when you get out of the school and you go to do something big for yourself in post high school life. So the fact that they're like tying her back in, saying like, oh, she'll be back here next year, it's like, that's not.
Yeah, it is weird. And unless they were planning on making some kind of spin-off series, then this is solely just to like shove it into Tiara's face here, who, I mean, never really had a chance with this plan to begin with if Sharpay really did want to come back, because like I mentioned, Darvis loves Sharpay, so why wouldn't she want her to return to run things if Sharpay wanted to? But yeah, Sharpay doesn't need this. She doesn't need to come back. She can go to, you know, performing arts college and, like, you know, hit it big, like I'm sure she really wants to do.
Right. It's just strange. And I don't know anything or enough about the University of Albuquerque to be like, oh, is that like a great school when she could have had all these other school options? So right. I'm going to assume that it's U of A, but I have no idea if like that performing arts, you know, there is good enough. So,
yeah, I don't know. But as is customary with both spring musicales and graduations, we are going to put Troy on the spot and we're going to tell him he has a decision to make. This whole thing is so funny. I just have to laugh at it because they're like, all right, Troy, tell us on stage right now what you're going to do with the rest of your life. It's like, why does he have to do this like on stage with everyone watching?
I guess Lonely Boys theater time. I've chosen basketball, but I've also chosen theater. The University of California, Berkeley, offers me both. That's where I'm going to be attending next fall. But most of all, I choose the person who inspires my heart, which is why I picked a school that's exactly 32.7 miles from you. That doesn't make sense to me, right? Miss Gabriela Montez, Stanford University, pre-law. So what am I missing here? 32.7 miles? That seems like nothing.
It's not. Where is he going? Oh, he's going to UCal in Berkeley. And
is the University of California not in California?
It is in California. And where is Gabriela going? She's going to Stanford University.
Yeah, where's Stanford?
Okay, so that is in Stanford,
it's in California.
That makes plenty of sense. That is probably, what is it? Is there a Stamford, Connecticut?
Yeah.
Probably Stamford.
So
yeah, Stamford is a city in Connecticut. Stanford is a city in California. Thank you for attending our geography podcast where we figure all this out live on air.
So I definitely did say earlier that, you know, he drove all the way across the country to go to Stamford in Connecticut because that's what I thought that we were doing here. Does that make any of those jokes less funny? Like, do I have to worry about that on my conscience now? Like,
no, I think they can just disregard that, but I mean, we still do know that it's like, and I'm so bad with geography, so I don't know exactly how far 1,053 miles is, but they are like U of A, which is in Albuquerque, which is where they go to school, mm-hmm. would be 1,053 miles away from Stanford University. So
sure.
It's still
That's
a hell
lot.
Of a road trip to make, yes.
But from Albuquerque to Connecticut would have been like so much longer. And that's what I had in my head that we were doing this whole time. So people were probably laughing at me if they knew that, or if they just didn't notice it. Now we're all laughing together.
Well, listen, you can just edit all that out and make yourself sound like a genius.
No way. Because the whole discussion, I mean, it was still a discussion, you know, based around the fact of like the fact that he drove all that way in the first place.
Yes,
but in my head, he did a cross country road trip. Now it makes a lot more sense that it's not Stanford, because there has to be two different schools based on one letter that's like right next to each other in the alphabet that pretty much look identical besides of like one little hook.
Anyone could have made that mistake.
Okay, so that makes a lot more sense because it was confusing. I was like, why is he talking about the school so close, like when he's going to Connecticut or she's going to Connecticut and he's going to California? Okay, so he's not going to school in New Mexico like his plan was to. He's instead going to school in Stanford, which, okay, so I don't know exactly 32 miles as far as time goes, but I would say it's probably like an hour, if that. I really don't know, but it's closer.
Yeah, definitely closer. Definitely doable. Definitely more doable than it would have been. And great that he, you know, probably factored that into his decision at least a little bit. But yeah, Troy chooses basketball and he chooses theater. Again, what is going on here? This seems like something that you would I know he's thought long and hard about it, but it seems like something that you would like do at home and decide, and not like on stage where everyone is waiting for you to decide because they are like the whole town is just invested in you for whatever mm-hmm. reason. And once again, I've never seen an audience go this crazy even one time during any musical, high school or otherwise, let alone the 50 or so times this audience has lost it so far. So, I mean, people are going to be talking about this night for years to come.
Yeah.
And I'm making fun of it, but I truly do love the ending of this film. I love that everyone's getting their moment here, and it's so dramatic. Like, they're all doing this. Troy steps on Darbus's toes a little here by announcing Gabriela and what her plans are. I don't know Darbus liked that or not.
But that was like, that was like great. Like, why do you need to let Miss Darbus give away your, you know, your girlfriend's, like, you know, like, no, you take that. Like, that's a good move.
Mr. Bolton, we did not discuss this. I don't know what you're doing.
No, that's a good move. And that's where I put in my notes the first time that I was crying. So when he takes that from her, or not really takes it, but he just kind of like takes it anyway and goes with it. And I cried a little bit there, let out a tear or two as he announces Gabriella's, you know, destination. And then we're going to get, you know, the next plot turn here, because we can't be done with all the plot twists. Mr. Chad Danforth, University of Albuquerque.
Why is Chad getting announced after Troy and Gabriella? Like, I don't know what order she's going in, but Troy and Gabriella are the stars of the school. You'd think they'd save them for last, but Chad goes after them for some reason.
For suspense, because Chad's not here. He has a basketball scholarship to the University of Albuquerque, but he is not here to accept Mr. Danforth, and he is nowhere to be found. So, of course, Troy is going to run off to find his buddy Chad, who's actually in the gym shooting some balls around and just, you know, doing what he loves to do the best. And the most, and this is why he's got a basketball scholarship. He's obviously so committed to the sport that he needs to go play. So he is going to take a lot more time than you would expect here to kind of like talk to Chad, because everybody is waiting for them in the auditorium. Like, everybody's wondering where Chad is. You would think he would go be like, Chad, you have to, like, come on, we'll talk about this later. Like, literally pull Chad by like the arm and be like, come to the auditorium and take your bow. But no, instead he like goes wild. He's like, the crowd's going wild for Chad Danforth. Woo! They have a conversation about Berkeley versus the Red Hawks. Like, are they going to have a game against each other? He's like, yeah, you know, friendly competition. Great, game on. Troy's dad comes by to break it all up. Danforth, Bolton, you get out of here and get on stage and get in the tree.
Danforth, Bolton, what the hell are you not doing on stage?
What are you not doing in a tree? So he, you know, comes by and, you know, cute moment there where Troy's like, oh, I never thought I'd hear my dad say that. And, you know, they run off, gives his dad a hug, and then they run to the stage. But the whole sequence takes at least 5 minutes, if not more. And again, people are in the auditorium waiting.
Unless there were more names to be read and they just kind of moved on, or like, we'll see where they Chad is. Hopefully someone luckily Troy knew exactly where to find him. Obviously he's playing basketball, because there's always basketballs available even during the graduation / spring musical, whatever's happening.
You'd
here.
You think that the balls were all used on stage. Like,
you think so, but there's plenty of basketballs here to go around. And in this scene, Chad also says, you know, once they hand us those diplomas, we're actually done here. So I thought they were actually, at this point, I thought they were actually getting diplomas, like, in that moment, and that this was really graduation. So I was like, wait, in this school, does the theater department really get their own graduation on stage immediately after the spring musical? And I was ready to accept that, but then immediately right after we cut to which was what I am assuming is actual graduation.
Yeah, and no, I think it's just, you know, he's this moment of graduating, you know, I'm making air quotes, on stage is making him like so terrified of the real moment, right, that is coming truly right around the corner, as in like the next scene. But yeah, I mean,
yeah, I was so confused. And yeah, this is all something where I said, this is probably like my fifth time watching the movie. I would never think twice of this if I'm just mindlessly watching the movie, but when I'm picking it apart and taking notes and everything, it's impossible not to notice all these things that just were not making sense to me.
That's what's making this so fun. And hopefully other people agree rather than being like, they don't even like this movie. I wonder if that's...
And among those things is that Troy is giving a speech for some reason. Like, as is custom, we would now like to invite the school's best basketball player to make his speech.
Yeah, so what the hell? I was copying, you know, some of the things he was writing, and then I was like, you know what, forget this. I'm going to take it from the script and copy and paste it. The script was still open. And then as I'm doing all that, I paused the screen to be like, wait a second, why is he giving a speech?
why do they have the star basketball player? I don't know who the captain of my basketball team was in high school, but they did not make a speech at graduation.
Troy is not the valedictorian. Troy is not the salutatorian. Troy is not any kind of... sure, he's like the most popular kid in school, runs the show, and everybody like knows who he is, loves him and respects him, and, you know, he is the Troy Bolton of East High, but I don't know how he got elected to this.
you would think that Taylor was the valedictorian, since she is going to Yale.
Yeah.
Yaler, if you will. Kids came up with that one right on the spot. That was genius. But so I hope that she got... like, I hope she got to make a speech as well, just like off screen, and that like Troy didn't get the only speech here on graduation.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if it was just Troy.
Well, at least he gave a shout out to Zeke and Martha, which is good, because neither of them got their moment during the graduation scene on stage.
Yeah. All right. Lonely Boys Theater. East High is a place where teachers encourage us to break the status quo and define ourselves as who we choose, or as we choose, where a jock can cook up a mean creme brulee and the brainiac can break down on the dance floor. It's a place where one person, if it's the right right person can change us all. East High is having friends that we'll keep for the rest of our lives. And I guess that means we really are all in this together, because once a wildcat, always a wildcat. Thank you. and, you know, again, the tears start to come up, and we see Sharpay's dog is graduating too. That's great.
Yeah, got their own seat.
Love it. You know, more tears flow as we cut to the crowd, and we see Troy's dad putting on the hat of his school, which I
totally putting on the UCal the name hat. Of.
And yeah,
basically saying, "I accept you, son. You can go to school wherever you want."
We love when the Troy gets accepted by his father. That's what we need to see more representation of in media.
The growth of Jack Bolton.
Insane. So we love it, and we are going to see all the grads come together after it's after they're all, I guess, done getting their diplomas. They come together. They make a wildcat out of their persons with the with their colors on, with the white and with the red, and it's time for our final number of the series. High School Musical.
And this is where I'm going to start like losing it. I started tearing up during this. And I mean, the song itself, I actually really like the song. And surprisingly enough, it's probably my favorite finale number, like by far. I just really enjoy hearing it and singing along to it. And maybe it just seems more special because it's like the finale of the finales. Like, this is really it for them. It's this song and then we're done. And it just feels like really important. And I also genuinely do like the song as well.
I think it's good. I don't know. I mean, just right off the bat, I guess I have to just come out with it that I disagree that it's, well, not disagree, but it's, I don't agree that it's
my
favorite.
Do not disagree with my opinion.
Okay, I can't disagree with your opinion. It's not my favorite closing number is what I'm getting at.
I doubt it's many people's like we're all in this together.
I totally get the
love. Is iconic. But for me, like at some point we're all in this together got played out somewhere along the way, which isn't the song's fault, but hearing this song, it's definitely not one that's been played out. So when I hear it, I'm like, oh, this is really nice.
The rest of my life will feel as good as my high school musical.
And it's got a lot going on, you know, it's got the horns in the background. It's got that super catchy chorus. Obviously, you know, everyone's singing to each other and dancing and they have all the other students and like family and faculty. They're probably in the stands watching them. And just everything, you know, as is the formula with these finales, Ryan and Sharpay are each going to get their moment in the second verse. And I just think it's all so much fun. And I'm already getting like at this
conversation
point,
even though we're
still early in the song, I'm already getting emotional watching this.
One day we'll be looking back. Memories we'll have. Now we get the chance to the best of time.
Well, I don't know the lyrics, but I can hum along to the melody.
I just hope the rest of my life will feel like my high school musical. We get a Chad and Taylor solo in there, so all the complaining that I do about, you know, they never got a number together, they sound great together here.
This is the closest thing we'll get to a duet for these two, and so they get their moment here. And then,
really,
I mean...
Go ahead.
No, you go on.
I was just going to say, they really want this dance to be like... maybe we're all in this together, like, because you can see that it's very repetitive, like with the chorus is like the same steps over and over again. They keep doing this thing where they like put their arms in the air and like throw like a basketball to the side, which is not a basketball, but they're just trying to make something that you could replicate at home for the final time that they're doing it here. It doesn't work for me the same way. It's no pump down right, pump left right, a clap over the head and spin around and twirl, but they gave it a shot and
they tried
the whole thing here, even if they can't really recreate the magic of the first one's choreography. It's still a whole lot of fun. Like you said, it's like a roller coaster of emotions. We get the wave going that they do from High School Musical 2.
We get that fun wave again. Imagine getting to just put on this whole performance during your own graduation with the band playing in the background and everything. And like by the time we get to the part where they like break it down with the drums and the stomping and clapping and the cameras panning to everyone dancing and oh man, it's just so good.
Yeah, it's so much fun. And I mean, I can't help be a little bit distracted because like they're all dancing with their graduation robes that seem to be very much getting in the way. Like everywhere you look, there's like a robe flying somewhere. It's just like in their faces. It's all over. Like they're just, it's all over the place. It's, High School Musical 1, like their own, like these very like distinct character outfits, like that all match up to, kind of, where they were, where their character was at, I guess. So I don't know, but overall
Troy
it's a whole lot of fun.
Troy should have worn a baseball tee to graduation. To hell with the gown.
100%.
I think he should have. 100%. And I'm surprised that Chad didn't have Danforth 8 on the back of his graduation gown since he was trying to put it on his tuxedo the whole time.
A High School Musical says we have to let it go. All together makes it better.
Oh, yeah.
Memories that last forever.
I mean, we are, at this point, we have our core six. They get to step up. They separate themselves from everyone else. As the curtain closes, the big High School Musical title card drops down, and they literally jump and freeze frame. It is the corniest thing in the world, but it's exactly how this trilogy should end.
And it makes me tear up.
Oh, absolutely. Like we're not even done yet, because the music starts up again. Yes. for one more chorus. The freeze frame unfreezes, which is very uncharacteristic for a freeze frame. And we get one more close up on each of our stars, presumably so we can all like stand up at home or in the theater and give them the ovation that each of them deserves. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I am genuinely like tearing up while watching this, and it's so stupid.
So they jump up in the air for these, like, you know, for this final jump shot of all of them, and the High School Musical sign is like down behind them with all the lights on and stuff. And then after that, then we're gonna go to individual headshots of each of our core six, where we're gonna, you know, zoom in on Taylor, and they really kind of go in like order of like they're telling you like these are the importance of the characters. So you know, Taylor McKenzie in last place here. This is like the Mario
they
Kart.
They did their
like,
own power rankings.
This is like power rankings. I was thinking like when you get the Mario Kart results of like at the end of a Mario Party game or whatever. So we see Taylor McKenzie smiling at the camera, Chad Danforth, Ryan Evans, Sharpay Evans, Gabriella Montez, and Troy Bolton all smiling into the camera individually, waving, smiling, laughing. And then at the very end, they all link their hands together, raise them in the air, victorious. They finished it. They've graduated. They've gone through high school. They've done it together. We love it.
I'm getting chills just thinking about it as they all give their awkward little smile one by one. It doesn't matter. Like I said, so emotional here. Like, this is how every important movie should end, with the characters just looking at me through the camera while a song plays in the background.
I agree.
Like, we never get the end of a movie like this with like a curtain call. And this is how we are seeing this entire trilogy that we love so much. And the cast deserves this moment. I'm glad that they got this. So I could in the comfort of my couch, just, give them the ovation that they deserved one at a time.
Yeah, you know, it's a little unfortunate to the Kelseys and the Marthas and the Zeke. So, you know, that maybe, like, it would have been nice to have them around too. But I guess, you know, for the sake of, like, having this big moment that leaves us both emotional and probably other people, it does feel significant that it's, like, these six are up in the front. You know, we're getting the power rankings of our important characters. and it's great. And that leads us to our credits.
Yep, and it's because of the emotion, and I said this last, like, with the scenes, some of the scenes we got in the last part, but because of the emotions that I feel, like, specifically in this scene and the other scenes leading up to it, like, that this makes me appreciate this film, even though it may not be, like, as technically good or as nostalgic as the other ones, I am always going to appreciate it because it can make me feel this emotional for our core six.
100%. So, you know, more discussion on this movie and on all of them as we get to podcast number 10, where we're going to recap everything. We're going to talk through it all, and, you know, overall thoughts on all three movies. But we do get to the credits. It's time for a song called Just Getting Started, which is going to play here, which is sung. Yeah. By a man named Stan Carrizosa, who was the winner of a contest that I can't imagine that you knew anything about, at least while it was airing. Maybe you don't know anything about it now. I'm not sure. Called High School Musical Get in the Picture. Apparently this was a summer reality show, which seems pretty much exactly just like a Glee project, where there was just a bunch of contestants that were singing to basically win this. They were singing to win a recording contract with Disney and a music video to this original song, Just Getting Started, that's going to be shown during the credits of High School Musical 3 Senior Year. So that's what we watched during the credits, besides the bloopers. And it was apparently this whole summer long reality show. Like, I looked at the Wikipedia page, they were singing like just any, you know, other songs that you would see people on like American Idol singing all summer long, maybe some High School Musical songs thrown in there. I had no finger on the pulse of this, which doesn't surprise me because I always, you know, I wasn't even in on the Glee project as that was happening. So these summer projects passed me by. I had no idea that this was even a thing, but that's what we're getting here.
Yeah, well, thank you for bringing it up, because I was going to ask if you knew anything about this, and it seems like at the time, at least, you didn't, but you at least looked it up, and I too looked it up, because as soon as this guy comes on the screen and... What was his name? Oh, I see that Stan Carrizosa is singing this song, who I'm not familiar with. That yeah, it is so weird to just see this random guy performing this song during the credits. And I looked it up, what this is, and it's exactly what you said. And but under the grand prize section on Wikipedia, it said grand prize was a recording with a record contract with Disney and a music video to an original song, Just Getting Started, to be shown during the credits of High School Musical 3 senior year. The contestants who did not advance were forced to go into the chorus. Like, did they not have a choice in the matter? They were just forced to go into the chorus?
I did see that all 11 finalists, so it says all 11 finalists were in the music video. It was hosted by Nick Lachey.
And they were forced to. They if they didn't win, they were not allowed to go home. They were forced to go into the chorus. And it's also funny that this was the grand prize because it is literally buried at the very end of the credit sequence. Like, yeah, even after the blooper reel, there's no chance anyone actually, except for us, I guess, saw this. Even when he went to see the movies with his friends, they were probably all getting up to leave. And he was like, no, guys, I swear it's coming up. I swear to God, I'm in this credit sequence. We just have to get through all of these bloopers.
Part of me like resents the fact that like after talking through three movies, I have to like end talking about this, like whatever the hell this is. So I'm going to kind of stop it there unless you have anything else. But we also get some bloopers here, which are they're okay. I mean, nothing that like stands out as like super hilarious, but, you know, just quick cuts of all the characters doing some silly stuff, or all the actors, I should say.
Yep. It's something that, you know, I always enjoy watching. I like that Troy got his leg stuck in the chair while he was climbing on it. Duh. And
like, of course, yeah, that
was bound to happen. It's funny that in the first part, like the first movie, we joked about analyzing the credits like in the first part. And now we are actually like analyzing these credits.
I mean, if they played a music video for all the credits, we'd have to do this. But yeah, stay tuned for podcast 11 coming to your feeds, where we actually go through all the credits, talking through every single line. So there's some bloopers there. It's fun. And the most fun that we're going to have is yet to come, because we have to talk about our final High School Musical 3 song ranking.
We're not ranking Just Getting Started, are we?
No, we're not.
All right. It's no, last. I'll just okay. Throw it in.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 songs on my list. What do you have?
Okay, I have, just in case, because I didn't know which ones we would be ranking, I have 14. So we are not ranking Just Getting Started, we are not ranking We're All in This Together Graduation Mix, and we are not ranking Can I Have This Dance Reprise.
Right. Again, we'll, you know, think of it a little bit more over the time between now and when we sit down for the next recording that we do. And if for any reason inspiration strikes and we decide that we have to do it in some way, then we'll do it then. But, I think as far as like pure High School Musical 3 songs performances, we'll go with these like main numbers.
Great. Sounds good.
So 11, right? 11. Yeah.
Yes, I will have 11. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yep.
All right. Perfect. Are we ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So you kick us off here. We are going to go back and forth. We'll start at the bottom of our rankings, and we'll work our way up to the top.
Yes. So we only had two more to factor in to this. We got the bulk of all of the songs in the last part, so not going to be too much to ask. I mean, to add. And 11 out of 11 does not make it out of the bottom spot. A Night to Remember is still going to be my LVP of the High School Musical 3 soundtrack.
All right. My number 11 is going to stay the same as it was, or the bottom of the list was last time. It's Walk Away. I just, again, have no connection to the song. I can barely remember a word to the song. I'm going to listen to it again between now and when we watch next, just to see if I can even try to like scrape up a morsel of like attachment to it. But for now, just to be here and true to myself in this moment, number 11 has to be Walk Away.
Yep. And for me, number 10, also not going to have any change. Boys Are Back, right up. I kind of think of them in the same way, where it's fun to watch, but as far as listening to the song or even like the lyrics of the song, I don't really care for, you know, nothing special at either of them. So Boys Are Back is right above A Night to Remember, and that'll be my number 10.
All right. My number 10 is going to be Senior Year Spring Musical. So musicale.
Interesting.
So the one that we just added on today, or one of the ones that we were adding on for today, it is a fun sequence of you know, a couple of reprises and whatnot. It's just a lot of the, you know, all these other songs that are on this list are, you know, the full song and the full performance. This is, again, this is fun, but it's like just kind of a chaotic mashup, and not even in like the fun Glee mashup way. It's just like a bunch of songs back to back to back to back to back. And it's like, again, it's cute, but it's not anything that I, you know, am in awe about. I'm just going to drop that there. Go ahead.
Yeah, I truly didn't know what to do with this one, because it is just But besides Kelsey and Ryan singing to each other, it is just songs that we've heard before. And like, I like all of the songs. Like, they chose like some good songs to like recreate and sing. And I genuinely enjoy watching all of it. And the performances are fun. So I didn't know where exactly to put it. So I figured I would just put it. You know, once we got to like, once I got out of the way, the ones in this soundtrack I really don't care for. So, and don't worry, because there's still a couple of them. As Can I Have This Dance? Unfortunately, you were not able to convince me to get this any higher. I have this at number 9.
That's crushing, but it's fine.
Even with the reprise,
it's crushing, but it's fine. So I had Senior Year Spring Musical at number 10, and I will cross off at number 9 one that's already been on your list. The Boys Are Back. It was pretty low on my list earlier, and it kind of stays low down here now. It's fun, but it's just, you know, it doesn't give me as much as the other ones do. Like, I on the other two lists, I feel like at this point of the list, I was being like, oh no, it's like, it's really good, but the other ones are better. Like, I don't know that I'm saying that exact thing right now. I feel like I'm saying it's not that good, but it's not terrible.
I definitely take that point.
The boys are back. The boys are back. Okay, cool. The boys are back. The boys are back. They're going to do it again. They're going to break them all to the neighborhood. The boys are back. Okay, cool. The boys are back.
Take it away. Yeah, no surprise there. I obviously also had it low, and yeah. I will counter that with one that you have already talked about, the one that is your 11 out of 11. I will have here at number 8, Walk Away, which I do enjoy it, I guess, but it's just short, and it's just not as impactful as something that you would be expecting from Gabriella at that point in the movie. So a shame we couldn't get her a better like big number in the final movie, and that's why it's not going to be as highly as it probably should have been.
Mm-hmm. So that was 11, 10, 9. I'm up to number 8. My number 8 is one that actually dropped, I believe, at least one spot since the last time we spoke. A Night to Remember drops down a little bit. You already have this
man.
One, right? Or no?
Yeah, no, it's my 11.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry. So yeah, number 8 here for me, Night to Remember. Essentially just drops down a spot because the song that I think was below it before, I wanted to move up a spot, and I had no problem moving it up above A Night to Remember. A Night to Remember is, I think I would say over The Boys Are Back, like I would say that this one is fun, but it still, again, doesn't do what I usually look for in a High School Musical performance. So it's going to be there for me.
I will never be able to get over all the guys sounding like complete morons going, don't know what a corsage is. Like, I will never be able to listen to that. So, yeah. Oh, boy.
Big Fun. Like, that's not, what is that?
Big Fun.
Big Fun.
Big Fun on the Night of Nights.
On the Night
I was saying
nights.
That all prom night. I was saying this is big fun on the Night
Let's
of Nights.
Let's dance. You know, if anything, like if we were, if maybe, you know, the discussion should be, and as we go, maybe we should be doing this. Like, is the reprise from Senior Year Spring Musical better or is the original? Because they didn't do The Boys Are Back Again. They did do A Night to Remember twice. And I'll say the Tierra Gold's version is better than the entire ensemble's version of A Night
big
to Remember.
Fun on the Night of Nights. Yeah, I'll agree. Tierra has her moment there.
All right, good. So that was my 8. So what's your 7?
Speaking of which, we're at number 7. So we're now, I've already named all the ones that I would probably maybe skip if I was listening to them, or at least at the very least would not choose to play in the car to sing along to. So now that we have them out of the way, I can slot in a Senior Year Spring Musical Medley, whatever this one is called, just the giant mashup of pretty much every single song. Mm-hmm. So yeah, fun to watch, but you know, these are already songs that we have ranked in other places in the countdown, so can't really put it that much higher.
Yeah. I was almost surprised that it wasn't like lower on your list. Not that it's like, I'm saying like it's terrible, but I was like, oh, we're probably both going to have it at like the bottom, like 2 or 3.
There's at least parts of the song, because I like the songs that they are based off of that yeah. I enjoy more than the 4 that I don't really enjoy that much. So,
all right. So there's Senior Year Spring Musical is crossed out on both of our lists. One that we have not yet talked about, but I will put here at my number 7 is going to be I Just Want to Be With You. I did bump it up a spot over A Night to Remember. And I think, you know, the fact that it gets played like two more times in the movie definitely helps it out, of just like the more they play it, the more I hear it. I'm like, no, this is, you know, it's a really nice sounding song. And now I'm like firmly in the section of like, I like all of these songs, but I just like the other 6 better. So that's that.
Yep. And I will talk about this one as well, because it's my number six. Kind of makes sense to have it kind of just above senior year spring musical medley performance, because, I mean, the medley is pretty much, I think most of it is taken up by Just Want to Be With You. They do sing it, you know, like twice throughout the whole thing. So because that takes up most of it, I kind of associate those two songs together, kind of. So Just Want to Be With You. It's fun. It's a great Troy Gabriella number, but it's nothing special. So I have it right in the middle of the pack.
All right. I made a super last minute switch just now as you were talking, and I swapped out my number six to be a different number six. My updated number six as of this moment in time is going to be Right Here, Right Now. I had it at five, dropped it down a spot to number six, essentially just to move what I had at number six up one spot because I thought it deserved it. We'll get to that in a minute. Right Here, Right Now, I think it's great. I think it's cute. And there's so many different parts of it that like make me want to put it almost at like number one or two or three, because like the part like Gabriella, right here, right now, like when she's like super high up there, like, oh my God, I love that. I live for that part. Just so many different parts of it like do capture me. But just as a whole, I don't even think I know all of the words to it. I know a lot of them, but it's like, I can't love it that much if I, you know, I don't know. If I can't sing along to every word, it's just, it doesn't have as much of the magic that the next five do. So
I get that. I am going to put it almost where you have it at number five. Now we're in the section here. Top five here are songs that I like, pretty much genuinely like from this that, you know, I would not hesitate to kind of blast in the car and sing along to, which, you know, you'd think in a High School Musical movie, it should be more than five. But, you know, I've mentioned a couple times a little bit of a weaker soundtrack for the third one than the other two. So Right Here, Right Now, number five, top five baby appearance from Right Here, Right Now.
I would say we may just keep bouncing back and forth, but I don't think that we're going to. I feel like the one that I have next is going to be one that you have higher. So we'll see. The one that I just raised up a spot to give it a little bit extra boost is going to be our finale, High School Musical. High School Musical, Who Says We Have to Let It Go. It did get me very emotional watching it here, and I feel like that probably happens more often than not. But it's a tough top five here to crack into. And it's, you know, as I mentioned, it is not my favorite of the closing numbers. If anything, it's honestly probably the third of third. That doesn't mean I don't like it. I just think that the other two are better. It does have a very emotional, like, you know, gut punch there, especially when we get to the end. If you factor that in of like when they close the curtain behind them, I do think that they do that very, very well, and it's great. So, you know, 5 out of 11, absolutely no, nothing to sneeze at here.
Yeah, I knew. Oh, you love sneezing. And I knew this was coming, and when you said you were moving something up, I figured it was probably going to be this. So I was very happy to hear that it was moving up at least one spot. But it, for me, impossible to ignore that emotion factor. So I am not going to get to it yet. This is usually part in this countdown that we do kind of just go back and forth. But High School Musical, I guess, ruined that a little. So number four for me is going to be not the finale, but the opening number. So all the way on the other end of the movie, Now or Never. Very fun opening number. Love a good opening number. And this one's no different. Probably the weakest of the three movies opening numbers, but we'll more on that in the next episode. Mm-hmm. So number four, I've talked about it in the first two parts as well. It's just a fun number. So
that was your number four. So I guess we are bouncing back and forth now, because this is also my number four. Yay.
All right. We have a match.
Now or Never is going to be, up next for me. As you said, I already kind of talked about it. It's a whole lot of fun. Opens up the movie, with, a bang here with this intense basketball game, and it's now or never, and Troy! So love it. Number four.
All right, so for me, if you're keeping track at home, I have three more songs. It is, you know, the first two that I had in the top two spots were I Want It All and Scream, and now of course I'm also very high on High School Musical, so these are the three in the top tier for me. It was pretty difficult, but as far as the finale goes, High School Musical is very fun, and I do love the song itself, but a lot of it is just the emotion factor. So whereas I don't feel as highly about the song itself as the other two, so High School Musical is gonna get the bronze medal here for this movie and come in third place for me.
All right, and we're gonna have the same top two then, because that means your top two is what it is, and mine are gonna be the same as well. My third place, though, is one that you already talked about like an hour ago. Can I Have This Dance is going to place here, and you know, if anything, you could see Can I Have This Dance go back up, because famously, I Want It All and Can I Have This Dance were switched, and now I Want It All is above Can I Have This Dance. So Can I Have This Dance is just one day you'll come around and see it. It's just a great romantic Troy and Gabriella number, Dancing in the Rain the first time around, and the second time around, when they what's the reprise here, you know, when they're doing it pretending to be prom. It's so silly, but it's still, you know, kind of sweet and touching, and I think it makes it even stronger.
Right. It is great, because a lot of times when you go see a movie in the theater, you're afraid that there won't be a moment where you could like get up and go to the bathroom. I'm just kidding.
Look, he's actually saying something nice. Yeah.
No, it's a nice song. Just obviously I don't feel as strongly about it. So top two, same as it was last episode. I had I Want It All and Scream in the top two spots, and I had Scream over I Want It All. And I had a whole 2 days to think about whether I wanted to switch them back, and I do not. Scream is going to be my number one still for this movie, followed by I Want It All in a close second.
What a peek behind the curtain the audience just got. How dare they find out when we schedule our recordings. Yes, same for me. Exact same as what you just said. Had some time to think about it, but I'm not changing anything. I Want It All is going to stay in second place for me. Scream in first place. The dramatic Zac Efron of it all will seemingly always work. It's magic for me when I'm ranking songs here. And I Want It All is just incredible production value, Ryan and Sharpay at their best. So, you know, the excitement that remains to be seen here is when we put it all together for our very big final song rankings, combining all nearly 30 songs in our final episode. So I'm very excited to get to that.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough, but someone's got to do it.
And that someone is us.
That's right. The Wild Mats.
The Wildcats and the Wild Mats.
Yes, so that's it. That's it for High School Musical 3.
You're crazy, Wildcat.
You're crazy, Wild Mat.
That should be our sign-off. I'm not saying that ever again in my life, but that should be.
Honestly, no, I'd rather delete this entire recording the second we finish.
Oh, boy.
All right, that's all we got. I feel like it's been like lingering in the background this whole time, and I feel like I just need to ask you, have you watched Sharpay's Big Adventure?
I haven't, no.
I don't think I have either. I mean, it's very possible I watched it when it came out, you know, in whatever year that was. I'm very curious to see if people are going to be, like, expecting us to cover it, but, like, I don't know almost anything about it. Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure is what it's called, a 2011 film. I mean, I feel like I have to watch it at some point in, the next week or so just to, like, know what's going on there.
So that's a full 3 years after the trilogy had completed.
Yeah. Like, I just feel like it's so not part of High School Musical culture. And people could be coming for me saying like, absolutely not. It's so good. But like, I just barely remember that it existed, let alone like anything about it. Pat Mastro, Degrassi is in it.
Wait, what?
And also Austin Butler. Okay.
Well, listen, I didn't even I couldn't even justify going to the theater to see High School Musical 3 when it was out.
Yeah, that's true.
There is no way 3 years later I was watching Sharpay's Big Adventure.
Lauren Collins? I have to watch this.
Wait. This is a hell of a cast.
I mean, okay, 100% by the time we record next, I will have watched Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure.
So you do it. You let me know if it's good, and then I will watch it if it is. But it's weird that it's just, you know, 3 years after...
With like half the Degrassi cast.
It must have been filmed in Canada. That is the only explanation for what's going on there. Happy that Ashley Tisdale, I guess, was down to come back and reprise her role. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think I knew it existed because I just came up when I was on Wikipedia and I just saw that it was a thing. And I was like, oh, that's interesting, I guess. So you let me know how it is when you watch.
All right. I mean, and if it's like, you know, required watching, then we come back in here and do, you know, podcasts 11, 12, and 13. So yeah,
if there's a demand for it, you know, we may be contractually obligated.
Doesn't seem like there's music in it. Actually, nope. There's a soundtrack. And the soundtrack has its own article. Okay, that's a lie. There's like 8 different songs in it. Okay, I'm going to watch this. I don't know what to do with it here, but I'm definitely going to watch it because I don't know what's happening. But that's all we have here for High School Musical 3.
All right. Perfect.
All right. So This is so weird. Former High School Musical star Lucas Grabeel recorded a cover of Justin Bieber's hit "Baby" for the film.
Okay,
but he was not in Glee. Like
he was not in the film. He just recorded something for the soundtrack.
I think he might have been in the film. I'm really not sure. Okay, more on that to come when we get back in here for our ultimate recap. Thank you guys for coming along with us here in the Troy Daddy podcast, the New York Deli podcast, the all of the above, as we had a great time recapping these three movies. But it's not over yet, so get your feeds ready for one more final finale from the two of us. Anything else from you, Matt, as we get out of here?
No, I've said that all that I can possibly say about these three movies, and all that is left is to do the definitive canonical ranking of the songs.
Yes. Hope that you guys enjoyed and have cried along with us. And of course, follow us on Twitter, on social media, at Matt Ligori, at MattyFresh24. And until podcast number 10, we're all in this together. We're breaking free. We're soaring. We're flying. We're graduating.